lazy delegators. How can you be a lazy delegator? She don't want to know anything about me, just ask Kathy. And what'll happen, it'll reverse. You'll start feeling sorry for me. Now, that's exactly what'll happen. Red Patterson, see, I'm talking about getting out of responsibility. Some of y'all don't know Red Patterson, but he was a major part of this community for many years. He was a major part. Everybody knew Red and Monroe. But so Red asked me, he said, is Chick Reeves still the pastor over there? I said, he sure is. He lives right beside the church, and anytime you need any help, Chick is ready to help. I might have stretched the truth a little bit, but Chick did help me preach a funeral one time. You remember? That's the truth, ain't it, Chick? He helped me preach a funeral. Matter of fact, Chick, will you preach next Sunday for me? I need a break. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 19, 20. We're going to look something in 17 probably too. I'm also going to want you to learn, I want you to turn to Jonah, if you will. Good to have our friends here today. Slipped here on us. We're so glad to see these ladies with us today. Find your place in Jonah, 2 Chronicles 20. Don't forget the announcements now. Don't forget the announcements. 2 o'clock this afternoon, we'll go visit and come back in. 4 o'clock for prayer time. I appreciate what the Lord's doing in our lives and our hearts and lives here at Welcome Baptist Church. We're very thankful for that. I meant to mention Miss Patterson. She's still healing, and I hope she's listening. Miss Patterson's having some complications following surgery, and we really, really want to pray for her. We sure do. I'm gonna read a verse. I'm betwixt here, but I believe I want to start. I read Psalms 117 this morning, and it's 2 verses, and it says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all you people, for His merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." We introduced a subject last week concerning the power of praise. There's power in prayer. The man that wrote some books wrote a book on prayer. His name was E.M. Bounds. And he wrote a book, he wrote that book on prayer. And he said, little prayer, little power, much prayer, much power. Now, it's not all about being on your knees 24 hours a day, but it's about going in the spirit of prayer. There's 2 things with peace that we need to be involved in. Well, we need preaching, but we need praying. And the more you pray, the better the preaching will be. So if I'm not a good preacher, if you'll pray for me, maybe one day I will be. And there's something else, praying and preaching, but praising. There's something about praising God that will bring you through troubles in life and will give you victory. Don't let nothing knock you out of your praising God. I've been through, we've all been through things. Personally, I've been through things. I used to sing a lot by myself. And that's probably the best singing I need to do. That's probably better for everybody else. The more singing I do by myself. But I noticed a time in my life where I didn't do that as much. I don't know if it was things that just happened in my life or happened, you know, around me. And I don't know, but I'll be honest with you, I don't sing as much by myself anymore. I need to. I pray. I think I pray. And it ain't about, I'm going to say an I a lot, but you're saying I to yourself while I'm saying this, okay? I hate to use the word I because it makes me think it's all about I. But when I use I, you immediately say, well, what about me? So I don't sing as much as I used to sing privately. But you know, I do this more. I pray more privately than I ever have. Thessalonians, Paul said, pray without ceasing. So we go with a prayer, people say, on our hearts. And so, but praise is a whole new place that I think that Baptists need to get back to. I believe that praise has, we've allowed other people and other religions and other denominations to cause us to be afraid to pray. I've been in a lot of different kinds of meetings. I've seen people rolling in the floor. I've seen women going around with their hair bunned up and shake their hair down and run and dance and holler. And I've been in places where they spoke in tongues and stuff like that. And that's between them and God. But what about us? What do we do about praising God? Why do we let people that we think are just putting on a show diminish and limit us about praising God? When's the last time that you lifted your hands up and said, Lord, I just want to give you praise? When's the last time, or have you ever done that? And what's wrong with it? Not only we enter our closets with prayer, but I'll tell you, we need to enter our closets in our private lives with praise. And we need to do that when we come together. We need to praise God. Oh, praise has mighty power. I'm going to mention children a little bit in this message. If you're trying to take notes, you might as well just put your pencil down. I mean, you can take notes if you want to. That's up to you. Just don't be figuring your grocery list while I'm preaching. Or your 401k status while I'm preaching. Sort of amazing now because people can watch Gunsmoke while a preacher's preaching. If you're watching, will you please let me watch a little bit too? You used to have to rush home, you know, to get your favorite television thing. And so we were in a meeting two nights last week. Brother Tom Wallace preached. He's 94 years old. Drove himself from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, down to preach at Brother Ledwell's church. Great man. Anyway, I said, I'm going to miss Gunsmoke. I said, I'm not going to miss it because I can turn it on anytime I want to. I'm real carnal. Y'all already know that. Listen, don't think more highly of me than you should, and you'll say, no danger of that. But I'm thinking, I can turn it on any time I want to. But I said, it's getting late, and I'll be sleepy. And he preached in a long time. That don't ever enter into none of your mind. Preach on, preacher. But just do it fast. Okay. Amen. I got one honest guy back there. Who said that, Matt?
Derek.
I hope your dinner burns. Okay. Hey, praise. Where is praise? Where is thanksgiving? Ah. We're going to creep through these series. But I mentioned to you in 2 Chronicles, they were surrounded by the enemy. 2 Chronicles, King Jehoshaphat had just went to war with some of his cousins. Ahab was the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. And Ahab said, I need some help in a war. They were kinfolks. I'll be honest with you. You need to be careful engaging yourself in a war that somebody else's war. Even if they're your kinfolks, you need to be very careful. It's like he that goes forth and meddles with, and I'm paraphrasing, with somebody else's affairs is like taking a dog by the ear. And careful with the United States, because the United States, Eisenhower said, we need to be careful as a nation not to over-involve ourselves in other people's wars and overextend ourselves to where we're not even able to defend ourselves. Other people's business. I want to spend the rest of my life staying out of other people's business. Now, if they need me, I'm here. But you can trust one thing about it. Roger Butler is not going to nose himself in your affairs. Now, if there comes a need of a church discipline situation, I'll have to be right on top of that. But anything else... You see, there's a danger. Ahab told Jehoshaphat, and they were all cousins to some degree. He said, I need some help fighting. So Ahab, Jehoshaphat, joined with Ahab to go into battle. And listen to this. I said this the other day. But when Ahab, they were going into battle, Ahab told Jehoshaphat, wear your kingly robes in your chariot in battle. But he said, but Ahab went and put on regular clothes, soldier clothes. He disguised himself. He was a coward. And they went into battle, and the enemy was going to kill Jehoshaphat because they thought he was the king of Israel, and God stopped that. They said, don't kill him. And then a soldier just took an arrow and shot it in the air at random, and it went right through the back, or the front, went right through Ahab. And he stayed in his chariot to the end of the day, and then he died. Now, Jehoshaphat comes back home. He should have learned a lesson right there. He should have learned, do not get involved in other people's affairs. He said, do not. And God said, because you have made affinity with Ahab, there's going to be trouble in your life. And it says this in this verse in chapter 19. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly? Shouldest thou help the ungodly? How do you do that? You contribute to somebody's fall. If they're wayward and sinful and evil, and you contribute to their fall, you don't need to do that. You don't need to contribute to their habit. You don't need to contribute to their evil doing. But he said, he said, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. There was trouble coming in Jehoshaphat's life because he showed affinity. And the way it was, there was marriages. There were marriages from both those families, from a wayward family and a family that was godly, represent Judah. There was intermarriages there. And because of that, my friends, it weakened the strong. It weakened the good people. Never is there a marriage that takes place where the marriage, where one is weak as a Christian, one is strong. Never does the strong pull up the weak. The weak pulls down the strong. And it brought a curse. It brought trouble on Jehoshaphat. We'll get into that later. So Jehoshaphat is living his life now with a preacher that came to him and said, you're in trouble for what you've done. He said this, shouldest thou help the ungodly, love them that hate the Lord. Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. He began to live his life every morning saying, there's wrath coming on me. I'm in trouble from the Lord. Can you imagine getting up every day knowing you've done something wrong and you're going to pay for it? But he said, nevertheless, there's good found in you. I'm giving you an opportunity, is what he said. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. Boy, I'm telling you what, it's about time, ain't it? When you get a message from the preacher that says you're in trouble and God sends you a message and said you're going to pay, you're in trouble. My friends, it's a good thing not to run, but it's a good thing to try to just get right with God. Prepare your heart. Take down the groves. The groves, things on the side of the hill. People would go to the temple and worship. And after the temple worship, they'd go out on their little grove on the hill and worship their physical things and their sinful things. That's a sad case because that happens today. There's people that come to church on Sunday and then the rest of the week, they go out and do what they want to do in their little grove. And the king said, we're destroying all this. Wouldn't it be wonderful if he had some kind of king and some kind of leader that said, all this sin's going to stop in America. Wouldn't that be something to have a leader that said, we ain't putting up with no more of this? I thank God for what Fort Payne did a while back. They tried to have drag queens come through and do this and that and open up. And the government in Fort Payne said, we will not permit this. And they're far from perfect. Fort Payne's far from perfect. But I'm going to tell you why. They drew a line on that. They drew a line on that. Thank God. And I'm going to tell you, I almost got up this morning and started preaching on the homecoming queers. Do you understand that over in Anniston area, there's a high school that boys were running for homecoming queen. Boys. Boys. Ugly. Ugly. Can you imagine who would win a homecoming queen if there's a boy? Ugh. Double ugh. A triple ugh. I mean, so ugly it looks like God made them and then scared them real bad. It looks like God made them and they're so ugly they'd draw a blister on a brick wall. I can't imagine that. Can't you see a parent said, well, my boy, he won homecoming queen. Lord help us. Lord help us. Wouldn't it be something that if we had a leader that said, this is going to stop. You know where somebody, I was talking to somebody last week, don't ask me who. But I said, here's where the problem starts with the whole degradation of a nation. It starts right in a pulpit. It starts in the pulpit and then it goes out. And to have a diminished, to have a cowardice, have a coward in the pulpit and have somebody that's living for themselves and living for what they can get. I want you to understand that's where the problems start and has started in America because of preachers that will not preach. You just have to say amen. Me and Dan will agree with that. Do you want preachers to preach or talk? Do you want a speaker or a preacher? Do you want a man or a mouse? Do you want a paid hireling or you want somebody to be a preacher that will stay with you through the tough times and help you fight your battles? That's the kind of leader we need, not only in churches, but in America. That's the kind of political leaders we need. Wouldn't it be something? Jehoshaphat said, I know I'm in trouble. The preacher done come. The preacher, that prophet come said, you're in trouble. There's wrath on you from the Lord. But God said, the preacher said, nevertheless, I found some good in you. There's some hope to get back up on your feet and do something. So the first thing he done was took the groves down. Now you just think about it. I'm sorry I'm having to do this. Kathy brought me What do you, handkerchiefs, and I don't have no idea where they are. Andrew washed my towel. I had a big yellow towel. That's my towel. Hanging on the bed. I said, where's my towel? She said, I washed it. I said, it wasn't dirty. I said, every time I take a bath, it gets water on it, and it's washed again when I dry off. She said, Daddy, that ain't the way it works. That's the way it works with men. Some men, me anyway. You know how many times I washed my towel when I was at Tennessee Temple, hung it on the bed just like I do down here? I don't ever remember washing it. I wished I still had it. I wished Andrew hadn't washed my towel. I had to use two of them little old towels about that long. We need to get some of them Holiday Inn Express towels in here. Amen. Some of y'all need some extra large towels anyway. I'm talking about the men. Wouldn't it be something if that we had a leader that said, no more of this. It's over with. No more. Say, that'd be a dictator. I'm going to tell you, sometimes I think we might need a dictator for a little while. So this is the way it's going to be. Oh, what about our democracy? Do you know what? We're a Republican government with a democracy form. Did you find me a handkerchief? That'll do, buddy. Thank you. Jeff, you're a good man. Captain Ice. He's getting the ice for the rally. Amen. Kamala Harris said, I saw John York. He's one of my favorite people. John York will be here on that Sunday and hopefully on that Saturday. John York said, Roger, Kamala Harris said that to restrict a woman from having an abortion is immoral. What? Immoral to stop a woman from having an abortion? What? Immoral to stop a woman from killing a baby or having it killed? Let me turn the page there. I'm tired of looking at that. Hey, he said, we're going to get right with God. He set up, I want you to look down in these verses right here and just examine 20 verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem. Look, the king is where? A church in the house of the Lord. Before what? The new court. The new court. A new way of governing. A new way. You know what he did? He got rid of the old court. He got rid of the way things was being run. First of all, if you'll read in these previous verses, you'll see that he set up judges throughout the city in the country of Judah. And he said, listen, when you judge without partiality, and you judge without respect of persons, and you judge in the name and in the fear of the Lord, because the Lord is with you while you judge, and you'll make the right judgment under the fear of the Lord. You understand that, oh, there used to be a law code. There was a Blackstone law code from England that developed how lawyers should operate. And they had to study in law schools those law codes to become a bona fide lawyer and to pass the bar exam. And they were all established and they could refer back to those rules that were hand in hand with the Word of God. And there was a time when they set those books aside and said, you don't ever have to worry about going by those law codes. What you do now is go by previous cases and the judgments that were met in previous cases that were similar to yours is where you will make a decision. And that's why now that psychiatry and psychologists is involved in lawsuits, court cases, they now can plead insanity from killing their mother or raping a girl or doing whatever. or molesting a child, and now they can call that a psychosis, a problem, a mind problem, and they can get off from their crimes because they plead that the way they were raised or that they've got a little mental problem and do whatever they want to do. But not with this court. This court said you judge before the Lord. You judge in the fear of the Lord and don't have partiality. Be careful. That was in the nation. Then he brought it back in. You know, you can read these verses. I won't take time to do it. I'm running out of time, I guess. My time's limited because your attention span's limited, but we're just going to have to re-attention. And then he brought a court in. He had judges from quality men out there in the country. And then he brought it into Jerusalem and to around the king's throne. And he brought it into the house of God. And he had the Levites to be their judges there over things that pertain to the Lord. It become in a religious thing. It become in the church, the way things would be carried on. And the whole idea is, and then he says, I've got the Levites, I believe it was, or the priesthood, and it was the Levites were going to protect the king. He had new bodyguards. What do you think about that? He had new people that were going to watch over these men. And I want to read that to you if I can find it here in just a second. Here it is. I've been reading out of two Bibles, and it's lined up different ways on where these verses are. In verse 11 to 19, and behold, Amaziah the chief priest is over you in all matters of the Lord. And Zebediah the son of Ishmael is the ruler of the house of Judah for all the king's matters. Also, the Levites shall be officers before you. You know what that means? Those Levites were bodyguards. You didn't mess with them. I'm going to tell you what. They were security people, and they guarded the king. What's happening now? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen if we don't pray. We're going to have a dead Republican candidate. There's five assassination groups that are after him right now, five. Plus those that they don't even know about. I've heard people say this is the most critical time in our nation. And other people says, it don't matter. I'm going to tell you what, you're a very foolish person to think things is going to be the same. If God don't have mercy, you're foolish. I want to get to the part of praise, but I may never get there. They were surrounded by the enemy. They were surrounded. In chapter 20, verse 1, it came to pass also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea. That was the Red Sea on this side of Syria. Behold, they be in Hazaran Tamar, which is in Gedi. And let me give you an understanding that they were surrounded by the enemies. Some people called the other group, the blue group, the enemy. They are the enemy. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that's uneducated on how they ought to stand and how they ought to vote, but I'm talking about the leaders. They're the enemies. Anybody that wants to kill children's my enemy. Anybody that wants to take my gun away from me is my enemy. Anybody that wants to try to restrict me from preaching the Word of God is my enemy. Anybody that wants to come into my home and try to make a estimation of the value of my home and what I've achieved and acquired, or what a person's achieved, acquired in their lifetime, their net worth, or their gross worth, or their anticipated escalation of the value of their home, and then charge us taxes on their estimated value, a future value of the home, and charge us taxes for whatever ain't even happened yet, or even to charge a tax. I'm going to tell you what, I built my house for $38,000. It's worth a lot more than that now, they say it is, to build it back. I don't live in no mansion. I have to get nearly $400,000 worth of insurance to replace my home right now. And it's just a simple farmhouse, but it's big enough to hold 9 kids and a woman and a man. And I want you to understand, if they come and try to charge me on taxes for $400,000, if they want to do that, that's when I'll go to jail or I'll run. They'll have to catch me first. And that's what they're anticipating doing. You can sit around sitting on your hands, my friends, and say, it just don't matter who's this and who's that. It does matter. We need a king that'll say, I'm going to put a stop to the groves. I'm going to put a stop to this foolishness. And I'm going to get back to the God-given rights that we're born with by God, our Creator. Praise the Lord. To life, liberty. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I don't know if it was who it was, Thomas Jefferson or who, that was talking to the Baptist people when they were writing the Constitution that wanted those three things in there. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. And what they had was life, liberty, and the freedom to own property. And he said for it to be less offensive, we need to put down the pursuit of happiness with the inference and the indication that you can be happy when you own your place and you're debt free and you can have something and be somebody and achieve something and raise your family without land tax, which is a bunch of bull. I'm sorry. You get something, you pay for it, it's debt free, and then you have to pay taxes on something you bought and paid for the rest of your life? That's communism, friends. Say, I don't believe it. Well, it is. You say, don't worry about me. Just listen to what I'm saying. They were surrounded. They got a new court. Sort of like Jehoshaphat drained the swamp. There's a lot of churches that need the swamp drained in them. Let's just bear down here, Daniel. I know you're with me. A few years ago, when J.M. Reeves died, there's a preacher here, and he asked me a question. He said, you just going to finish out at Welcome Baptist Church? You know what I should have told that rascal? Who I know's church hopping. You don't know what that means right now, but I'm going to tell you. I should have said, no, that's just a little church. And, you know, years ago when I was here and there was another preacher here, without getting into all the details, I was here. I was the interim pastor and they voted him in. So anyway, you know what he told me? He tried to push me out of here. You know what he said? He said, Roger, I can get you a big city church. I said, brother, I don't think I want a big city church. So what do they do? I can tell you, preacher after preacher, it starts in the pulpit, that use little churches like this for their advancement to get to where they want to go. I'm going to tell you what, they'll stand before God. I doubt that they're even really called to preach. Need to drain a swamp in some pulpits. A new court. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what? What Jehoshaphat did? He was surrounded. I know what time it is. You don't have to tell me. It's like Brother Allen. It's preaching time. If you ever want to know what time it is when you get here on Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, just say, it's preaching time. And then I done told you, I might as well tell you again while I take this little commercial break. I went to view Sammy Allen's body. Y'all know that. I didn't get there for the viewing that night. I got there early for the funeral. I walked in. The doors was open. His casket was down here. And I walked in. Nobody was there, I thought. Just me and the body. I walked down the side, walked up here, got right in front of the casket. Somebody turned the sound system on wide open and said, it's preaching time! I jumped right over that casket and over the pulpit and ran out the back door. My heart's in good shape, buddy. I'm looking for the demon that done that. I'm going to wring his neck. I know one of the men that does that sound system, and I'll catch up with him. And there's another one. They said it's one of the two. I may have to get both of them just to make sure I got the right one. Can you imagine that happening to you? Supersonic. Brother Allen, I thought you was dead, man. What did Jehoshaphat do when he saw that not only he was in trouble, but his whole nation was? What did he do? Where did these people come from? They come from all around, then they come across the Red Sea. You know what was on the other side of the Red Sea? That was where Sodom and Gomorrah was. And that represented the Sodomites. They came in on it. Lord, help us. It's happening all around us. God, help us. So what was the response? Quickly, Jehoshaphat feared. He began to get afraid and set himself, verse 3 of chapter 20, to seek the Lord. He said, I'm going for God. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. And I'm not trying to be funny, but you know that two things, I don't know which one's the most important, that when preachers start preaching on either, he didn't take up a collection, he proclaimed a fast. He not only people get upset sometimes when they take an offering up, but when you start talking about you can't eat, a fast means not to eat. That's really getting close to home. It is for me too. I eat. Kathy is very careful about everything she eats, and I respect her and honor her for that. And I just pray over everything I eat. I eat usually, if I like it and it looks good and I eat it. If I don't, I get something else that I believe in eating. When they tell me not to eat, they better know what they're talking about. Do you understand it's time for us to thinking about missing a few meals for the cause? Proclaim a fast. Y'all know Rhonda Smith, that's Tim's wife. We love them. They love us. We had that meeting the other night, and there was a table this long full of desserts. Me and Rhonda were standing there, and I said, I'll let you go first. She said, we got a daughter-in-law now that's out into physical fitness, and we started trying to be careful about what we eat. I said, does that mean no sugar? She don't eat sugar. I said, well, I really respect that and honor that, but I'm going to let you go first. So I got the cheese stuff. What do you call it? The cream cheese. What do you call that? Cheese pie. Huh? Cheesecake with strawberries on it. I went back around. She was still standing over there and walked up. She saw, and I seen her walk up, and she walked up to me and said, I give up. And she went and got some, and coming back, and it was cheesecake with, she said, I got the cheesecake with blueberries on it because they're healthy. She lost. If I was to tell you to quit eating, you'd say, well, you can do whatever you want to, but I got to eat. Well, I'm going to tell you what. God said that we desire God more than our necessary food, than our necessary meat. So when we get desire to see God working and doing something in our lives and it gets involved with us not eating, we're serious. He proclaimed fast. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, our God, fathers, art not thou God in heaven and rulest not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand there's not power and might. And in thine hand is there not power and might that none is able to withstand thee, and not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants. And in verse 8, and they dwelt therein. Verse 9, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, and pestilence, famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in thine house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, that's all promised all through the Bible, all through the Old Testament. If people will see their need and in their situation, if they'll cry out to God, he'll hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab, Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they have turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. You know what he said? There was these people here that they did not destroy when they came into Canaan. They helped them. They let them live. They took them in to their own country. And now they're trying to take away their land. He said, this is what's happened to us, God. Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh up against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. There you go. We're going to work our way to the power of praise. We've not got there yet. He said, we're going to keep our eyes on you. Now here's verse 13. We close in the book of Jonah. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. You see these little ones? Look around. You see these little ones? They're little ones. Their wives and their children. There's a little one. They're little ones. Come here, Titus. Come on up here. Come on. I'm coming to get you if you don't come up here. It's okay, son. I'm going to help you. Come here. Here's a little one. They're little ones. You see this? Don't you hope this boy has a good future? Don't you hope he has a good church to go to when he gets grown? Don't you hope? That things will be well with him and he'll get saved early. They're little ones. You know how selfish this world is? You know how selfish America is? I just heard a report this week talking about young couples and families. You know what these young families are saying? These young couples that don't have children yet. You know what they said? And I quote, they said, it's not worth it having a child. It's too much trouble. That's a direct quote on that report and on what those people are saying. It ain't worth it to have kids. Now, let me tell you something. I'm the richest person in the world. I got 24 grandkids. More coming. I'm rich. I'm telling you. And I don't want nothing ever to happen to these little ones. I'll give everything I got for their protection. I'll give my life for their protection. I'm going to preach for their protection. Nothing to happen to them. And their little ones. And their children. And their wives. You know where they went? They all gathered around the house, in the house of God. Begin to pray and to seek God. There's a verse in Jonah that just blowed me out of the water I come across last night. Jonah was concerned about his own personal convenience. He was a very selfish man. I don't even know how God ever protected Jonah. But he did. If it had been me, I'd have got another preacher and let the gestational juices of the whale just eat him up. Devour him. But God let him come out. And then the great revival of Nineveh took place. He went through the city. The first 7 or 8 or 10 words he said, that judgment was coming, and the king heard about it, and he proclaimed a fast, and the judgment was stayed, and Nineveh did not have to die because of that sorry preacher that finally got up and preached what God told him to preach. And then he sat around pouting after that. He sat around pouting. God made a gourd to grow up because the sun was hot, and he laid in the shade under that gourd vine. And then the gourd dried up because God said, okay, it's time to get up, Jonah. You can't just lay in the shade to risk your life. And he was mad and he was angry. And in verse 8 says in chapter 4, and it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? He was more concerned about the shade than he was the people. And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd. I'm preaching to these preachers that are preaching for money. These preachers that are stepping stones, stepping on churches on their way up. Pity on themselves, because they might have to be out in the heat. Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest to grow, which came up in a night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh? That means let the people live. That great city where are more than 64,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. 64,000. 60, is that 600,000, 60,000, whatever it is? How much is it? I can't get that in my head. You know who they were? Come here. Come here, boy. He said, you shouldn't talk to kids like that. That's the way I talk to them. Get over here. Come here, son. We're going to do this again. Come on up here. Now I want you to listen to your grandpa. Now look at me. Look at me. I know, don't act, you know, no, you make them sounds, but that's okay. You can talk to, but look at me. Look at me. Are you looking at me? You're looking at me. Raise your right hand and swear to tell the truth. Raise your right hand. Why? You don't know which one your right hand is. Is this your right hand? Is this your right hand? He don't know which one his right hand is. 64,000. That can't tell their right hand from the left. Saved the children, didn't he? Don't you care about the children? You're so sorry, low down, and selfish that you don't care about children. Jesus, the kids got around him. Time the disciples to get them away. And he said, hey, leave them kids alone. Forbid them not that they should come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Let's stand.